I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I blame Steph Curry.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Baldy is going to move to 10:30. Which means he's going to come on right around when someone's going to win some Sharks tickets right here on this show. That's right, Spadone. It's almost hockey season. And we want to send you to see the Sharks. Keep listening for this sounder at 10:30 today for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Sharks play in their home opener on October 14th at SAP Center, courtesy of the San Jose Sharks. Be listening at 10:30, and we'll give you the specific phone number to call to win those Sharks tickets. And that's also when Baldy is going to hop in. Apparently, he got a better offer for 10 a.m., so he'll join us at 10:30. No, Bonte did not call him and tell him, don't go on with Willard and Dibs. That did not happen. I got a little offended when Bonte and Joe this morning, not by Bonte leaving, that actually was just funny.
Yeah.
But him getting all territorial about Brian Baldinger. I've known Baldy since Bonte was in high school.
I've known Baldy since you were in high school. Baldy was in high school.
I've known everyone since I was in high school.
Totally.
Yeah. Sporting News Radio, Matt Nahagy and Brian Baldinger, yours truly, a million years ago. So don't tell me Baldy's yours, all right? Baldy, he gets around. And I'm not afraid to say that directly to him at 10:30.
Shout out Tupac.
Yeah, you get around, dude.
Yeah, oh boy. I get around.
You ain't trying.
Yeah, we should just at least take a brief moment here to rip Steph Curry. 1-for-7? Really? Really, Steph? Is that how you feel about Japan?
Went all the way over for one field goal.
Come on.
What are you, Robbie Gold? Come on, man.
And a -2 and the +/-.
Hey.
Wiseman.
Listen, once upon a time, this was a movie. It was called While You Were Sleeping. And while you were sleeping, James Wiseman did some stuff. Now, listen, this is just this side of Summer League. I mean, it's a preseason game.
I'd put it south of Summer League.
You think so?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
These are all NBA players, at least. In Summer League, guys. Well, yeah.
Lester Quiñones played 8 minutes.
NBA
Jerome Robinson played 12 minutes.
He's a problem.
Trevion Williams played 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
He can take it to the rack.
I mean, yeah.
They're NBA players.
They are now.
You're not flying them over there for a tryout. These are people who are on the roster. These are NBA players.
They're roster-ish. They played 16 guys in this game.
Let my imagination go for a second. It doesn't mean he's going to be great.
Let Quiñones cook.
This is exactly what we were saying at the end of last year, and I think it's fair. If that was the Warriors then and they won a title, what if? Just come on. Go with me on a what if. What if Wiseman hits? What if he hits? Oh, my gosh.
It'd be exciting.
They would be so good. They're going to be so good if that guy comes in and plays like a #2 overall draft pick at 7 feet tall with an inside-outside game and rim protection. Oh, my goodness. If he hits, they've got an embarrassment of riches on this team. An embarrassment of riches. I mean, it's almost like, you know, go back to when they had Durant, but instead replace Durant with unbelievable depth. is essentially what they would look like.
Yeah.
Now that Wiggins is Wiggins and Poole is becoming Poole and Clay is going to be healthier.
Poole
and,
1 for 10, by the way.
Well, you know.
He's been reading his press clippings. The starting five, 6 of 34 from the floor. I hope Steve Kerr flipped the spread at halftime.
I mean.
Unacceptable,
Mark.
Flipped
the spread. What was it? -2.5? What was the spread?
I don't know. Yeah, but anyway. Don't miss it. We'll replay the game tonight. Yeah, 6 o'clock tonight. Here on 95.7 The Game. Each and every miss from Poole, Curry, and the rest of those bums.
That's okay, because Wiseman got all the rebounds and dunked them home. He had a ton of dunks, 20 points in the game.
20 and 9 for Wiseman.
Do I say last night? Do I say this morning?
This morning.
The game was played like 7 hours ago?
Well, it was tonight in Japan.
There.
Yeah.
We should ask them.
What day is it?
How's the weekend?
Totally.
Call Japan and find out who wins the London game. I'd like to bet on it. Minnesota, New Orleans. Also,
do you have Japan's phone number?
Call Japan.
I took New Orleans in our pick'em contest and I regret it because Jameis is out.
Yeah.
And Thomas is out.
But Andy Dalton. Is he worse than Jameis? I mean, we thought the same thing about them in the offseason. They're like high-level backups, right? And New Orleans decided to just go with two of them as their starter. So, I don't know how that's going to look. London games tend to look like Thursday night football games. It looks like people are sleepy and they're not quite sure what their surroundings are. And so, I don't know how that game's going to go. But I don't know that Andy Dalton means the Saints can't move the ball.
Well, now that I have a newborn, I'm actually locked in on this London game because I'll be up.
I'll be there. I'm always up at 6:30. When are you not up at 6:30? Who's not up at 6:30?
On a Saturday, Sunday, I try to slow play it till 7:38.
I can't. I'd love to. I wish I could sleep in.
Yeah, you're getting old, Mark. Yeah,
well, but no, it's just 5:50. It's like, come on, let's go. What's happening? Good morning. Like, that's
the day.
It's not that. I don't need to get up to go to the bathroom or anything. I'm like a dog. I've always been a morning person, and I'm like a dog. It just 5:45. Cool. Ha. Hey, what's going on? Should we go outside? Should we eat? Whoop, whoop. Like, you should look at me at 10 o'clock at night. I can't
stay awake.
Oh, let's sit down and watch. Gone. I mean, I can't believe I made it through the end of the Giants game last night.
Oh, it got exciting last night.
Idiots. What are you doing, Gabe?
9:45.
No, it's already passed. We missed it. But what are you doing? Right? You're up 6-0. Jarrell Cotton is dealing. He gives up a couple hits, and then he gets a couple outs. You got one run in.
They got Jarrell Cotton?
They got Cotton.
The Cotton?
That's him.
A?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's on
God.
The Giants. He's coming out of the bullpen rocking 3 innings. And he looked great. And he's rolling. He gives up 1 run in the 9th, but then he gets a couple outs. There's a man at 3rd. There's 2 outs. It's 6-1. We're fine. Here comes Gabe. We believe that you're done. And we've got to make a pitch. I'm like, first off, I was mad, not just because I'm like, I'm liking what I see from Cotton, but we're all like, Gabe, we're all standing up. What out to go? Let's go home. We're going to get out of here in 2 hours and 35 minutes. Here comes Gabe for a pitching change. Gabe, really? The guy can't get one more out? He's facing the Rockies. There's nobody on the Rockies. Nobody. He can't get one more out? Nope. Can't get one more out. Here comes Brebbia. Pours gas all over the field. Next thing you know, the tie runs at the dish and we got to go get Doval. What are you doing? What are you doing? All right, enough of that.
Still in it.
How does the Steve Young stuff grab you? An air of resentment. I know, and you and I had this conversation the other day, I know a lot of you want to dismiss feelings. There's no time for feelings in the NFL, especially when you make all this money. But they're there. It doesn't matter what you make. It doesn't matter if you like your job. Jimmy Garoppolo is a person, and there's no way that Jimmy Garoppolo, in my opinion, I'm so glad Steve Young said this, because I think a lot of us feel the same thing. There's no way that he feels the same about Kyle Shanahan, the 49er organization. There's no way he feels the same about it as he did in the past. And to me, it doesn't have an effect in the first quarter. By the way, the 49ers always look good in the first quarter. Here's your script. Go run your plays. Everything's fine. But when things get tough, when things go wrong, that's when resentment shows. And that's what I think we're looking at right now with these two.
I don't think the resentment is spilling over into how he's playing at all, which is why I don't think that his resentment, if he has it, matters for a hill of beans. Because Jimmy Garoppolo goes out and he's trying to win the game. I don't think that he's playing any differently because he may be resenting the way things played out. Now, his reaction to adversity and the lip scandal, we'll get into a little bit more. Kyle Shanahan weighed in on Lipgate and what Jimmy Garoppolo may have said underneath his helmet. Now, that sort of stuff is a different topic to me. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo plays any differently because he may be resentful. And I agree with you. He has every right to feel resentment. But what are you going to do about it, Jim? And that to me is what this all comes down to, because he's not playing like a guy who is resentful. Because if he was playing resentful, like, I don't care about this team, or I don't care about Kyle Shanahan, that would be a problem. I don't see that.
We actually don't have enough data for this yet. The same way it was ridiculous for anyone to bring up the word benching 1 week after Trey Lance.
Agreed.
What have we seen? We saw Jimmy run in there as a backup and play well and beat Seattle, and then we saw one start and it was god awful. And that's what we have. So this idea of it's affecting him on the field, I think it's too early to even go there. I think Steve Young's point, and I agree with it, is that this is something to watch. It doesn't mean they can't coexist. It doesn't mean they hate each other. And it doesn't mean they can't play football. But it does set a tone for the organization that is absolutely less positive than it's been in the past. And that can bite you, because if things get tough, you're going to splinter. Like, if you resent someone, you go into a difficult situation, what happens, right? I mean, like,
It gets bitter and it gets ugly.
Right. The word resentment is actually any kind of marriage. It can be an actual marriage.
Oh.
It can be a partnership. It can be a business venture. If you've got resentment and it boils, we all know
festers
how to,
first.
Right? We know how to compartmentalize
first festers.
It. Right? Festers. I think that was the guy who started for the Rockies last night. His name was something like that. Anyway.
Shout out the Munsters. Adam's family. Sorry, Uncle Fester.
It boils. But we know how to, right? Push it. Push it down.
First it
down.
Festers, then it boils.
What we do as human beings. Oh, no, I'm great. Yeah, I'm great. Just push it down. Shove it
down. You got to pop it.
It's going to come out.
It's going to pop.
Especially in an emotional game like football.
You got that right, Pop.
I don't know what Jimmy was saying the other night, but it looked to me like resentment was boiling over.
Right.
And who was he resenting? I don't know. The situation?
I think we're still at the fester stage, though. I don't think that it's really boiled. Now, that might have been a little bit of a boiling. This thing is not, it doesn't have a white head yet, for sure.
One start, though. One start.
But think about it, Mark, and you said it yourself. That was the worst performance for Jimmy Garoppolo as a 49er. So it wasn't just one start. It was a primetime start in a winnable game in a spot where you should have won. And he stepped out of the back of the end zone on a play call that, according to some, sucked. Your plays suck, man.
That wasn't that play, by the way. It was after the interception where he's trying to force it to Debo.
Right, but in general, I mean, a lot of those plays sucked, man.
Yeah.
So I don't think that this thing has popped yet. It definitely festered, and it started to boil, and we'll see what happens this week if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't play well again, and if they lose again, and if the plays still suck, man, then we might see this thing eventually boil over.
There's more from Steve Young, and again, this is Rich Eisen's show yesterday, and Steve was asked, okay, if there's an air of resentment, how did we get there?
He's 34-14, went to the Super Bowl, went to a couple of championship games, and now they're telling him, we don't want you. We don't want you, and we're going to let you go, and we've drafted somebody else. You're done. So then he has to take all that success in his mind and make sense of it. Like, why am I being released? Why am I being fired? And what you don't want to do naturally is say, well, it's because I'm not getting things done, or I'm not doing my part. You take it as, well, they're idiots. And then people around you say that everyone's an idiot. And then pretty soon you listen to everyone. You say, you don't take in the full measure of why you're being let go, why you're being fired as a part of what you've done. So you could learn and grow, and you build resentment and victimization. And so that goes on for 6 months through his injury. And everyone's telling him how loud it is. Can't wait to get out of there. You know, that forget those guys. You know, and look, have I heard those words said? No. But I'm just saying, if you think about the human nature of it, you know, screw those guys. You'll be better off somewhere else. Blah, blah, blah. And you start there talking and thinking about that for 6 months, and then you end up back in the same spot. And maybe if you don't have those conversations to make things more positive, you're ending up together, remarried, when you haven't really solved the original problem.
I think this is a great point, and I really do not think that enough people have given this its just due. I know what we see. I'm not here to tell you that Jimmy Garoppolo is a great quarterback. That's not even relevant in this conversation, what each of you listening think about Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback. You have to do what Steve is adeptly doing right now, which is getting himself into the mind of Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't think Jimmy sucks. You do. Jimmy doesn't think
that.
Well,
they do.
Well,
Kyle does.
Maybe not that word, but yes, they did not think he was good enough.
Right, which is why they traded 3 first-round picks to move up to get his replacement.
Exactly. So here we are, and Garoppolo, it's fascinating to me how many people have bought this narrative from the 49ers and from Jimmy. Yeah, we've totally liked each other the whole time. I did right by them, and they did right by me, and man, I got a cool pair of Niners shorts that I got to run in on the side. And like, this has been so cool. And then we were like, man, I'm just sitting here and you're sitting here. And like, why don't we just keep doing it? This is not how that went. There have to have been shouting matches. There have to have been thrown things. And if Jimmy doesn't react that way outwardly, it doesn't mean he doesn't react that way inwardly. Steve just said it. If I'm Jimmy, at a certain point during this last year, he went, these guys are idiots, and bleep these guys, and I'm going to go somewhere else, and we're going to prove it.
No, you're not, Jimmy.
He's a pro. Well, and maybe he won't. But
tail
again,
between your legs, then, if that's how he felt, and the tail's between his legs, and you come crawling back for $6
million. I disagree, because the surgery is what led to that. And in fact, we already know this. The deal was about to go down. The shoulder surgery, did you hear Mike Silver even? He slipped it into our conversation yesterday that shoulder surgery happened without communication. And so there was definitely frustration there. How did that phone call go? We're about to trade you to Washington and you went and got surgery and didn't tell us? You don't think people didn't scream at each other? Like, this was not calm. I'm so confident.
Fine, yeah. But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are in September.
But that affects this.
Well, it only affects it insofar as Jimmy Garoppolo lets it affect him and Kyle Shanahan lets it affect him, because you mentioned the marriage analogy, and you know, you and your partner, you want to get divorced, but you can't because you got kids, and you realize that you don't want to go through the whole rigmarole of splitting the household, and you go here, and then you go here, and now we got to share custody, and there's spousal support, and all the rest of the stuff, and so you decide to tough it out, and that's where they are. Now, some people, you split, you get divorced, somebody always wins the divorce. P.S. Tom Brady won the divorce between he and Bill Belichick. That one's pretty clear to see, but in this case, you want to split up, but you didn't split up because you need each other. Jimmy Garoppolo got shoulder surgery and couldn't go anywhere else because the timeline of the surgery, the fact that other teams already had quarterbacks, the team wasn't going to cut you and let you go to Seattle if that's what was going to happen. And the team, by the way, realized that at whatever point that Trey Lance may not be ready. Kyle Shanahan, I don't know how soon in the offseason, realized that Trey Lance was probably not ready to be the quarterback that Kyle thought he was going to be, which is why he eventually ran him the way he ran him. And Kyle knows if you run a quarterback that often, he is more likely to get hurt. So Kyle looks at it. Trey's not ready to throw the ball the way I want him to throw it. I'm going to have to run him. I don't believe in Nate Sudfeld, and Mr. Irrelevant's not ready. What do we do? Hey, John, we got to re-sign Jimmy G. We got to rework Jimmy G. So the divorce that both sides wanted, Jimmy didn't want to have surgery. Jimmy wanted to be traded to fill in the blank. Jimmy wanted a fresh start. The team wanted the same thing. The team wanted compensation. They both were done with each other, but they could not get divorced for a number of reasons. So here we are in September, week four, they need each other. What are we going to do, guys?
Well, except for,
are we going to fight in front of the kids?
No.
Or are we going to make this work?
Well, you tell me how that usually goes. You usually fight in front of the kids.
Not like, at first.
I think
at first you make it work.
I think your
analogy. I'll sleep in the guest room.
I think your analogy is fantastic.
Sweetie, I'll sleep in the guest room. We'll trade off dinners.
Boy.
We're going to make this work.
You're sounding way more mature than actual people act.
Well, like, I'm sounding mature early, but Mark, but now we're 1-2.
Yeah.
So now we're 3 weeks into this, and I don't want to sleep on the sofa bed anymore, futon.
Your analogy works for me because if this is that.
Too soon?
Well, no, not too soon. No. We out. Anyway, right? Like, your analogy works because if you do stay in that, those of you who have done it, you know it's not good. And it doesn't work.
It can work in the short term, but a lot of it is it's not smoke and mirrors. It's like duct tape and staples. We're trying to hold this baby together.
Got Elmer's glue. And
totally.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It's going to fall apart. And so this is like what Steve Young is saying to me is tremendously relevant. And it's not about Jimmy is great. And it's not about, Jimmy's feelings. It's not about that. This is real. This is real. And this is not, to me, if you want the takeaway on this is not your last year's 49ers. This is not your 2019 49ers. And I'll even take the L on the one where, Jimmy comes back in, and what do we all say? Oh, well, we're going with what we know. And it may not be perfect, but we know this because we've been there for 5 years. No. This is a totally new journey with some of the same people to me. Bobby in Los Altos here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Bobby, what are you doing?
Hey, guys. I apologize for getting dropped yesterday. I apologize on behalf of AT&T.
Bobby, we've moved on. It's okay. Like, we're excited about today.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
So, actually, let me start with this. I was at the game yesterday as well, and I was sitting in the upper deck, far right-hand side, right at the foul pole. And so, of course, I take that 10-minute walk to the Coca-Cola slide, and as I'm walking, bases are loaded. So I miss all of that. But the Grand Salami came, if you remember, it actually came right towards the Coca-Cola slide. So I got a great view of it.
Oppo Taco, yeah.
Except I didn't know if it was a home run or not because you can't actually see the fence from there. So you have to wait like a second to see if anyone's going to cheer. And then, of course, you get to cheer. So I guess that's how baseball works. Hey, so what I wanted to say was, as it relates to, again, the Garoppolo thing, I'm not sure if you guys have talked about it, but this idea that, your play sucked, man. I mean, I feel like that was in reaction to something that Kyle said snarkily into the headset. It wasn't an initiated thing by Garoppolo. I think it was a response to something Kyle said. And I feel like that's an important point. It just didn't come out of the blue. Obviously, we'll never know, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And then as it relates to the Kyle versus, Sean McVay argument that we've had for a couple of years, like who was the wunderkind? It seemed like Kyle was winning that argument, but in the last 2 years, clearly Sean has kind of won that race. So, all these times where Kyle had these terrible teams, when Garoppolo got hurt, I never felt like the performance of the team faltered. I felt like they were still playing and engaged, even though their record was terrible. But now I think there might be some cracks, unfortunately, and we'll really see if the guys are playing as hard as they used to. Obviously, we'll have to wait to see until they're out of playoff contention. But if that happens, it really is a sign that, unfortunately, we need to get a new head coach.
Well, Bobby, I tell you this. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you, Bobby.
Like the whole Shanahan-McVay thing, first of all, that is a concoction of us. I mean, Shanahan's going against all the other coaches, not just the one that's a similar age and a similar height. I think Kyle's got him on height. But anyway.
McVay's got him on guns, though.
Yeah, he's got him on Super Bowl rings, too. But point is this. Maybe the competition that we actually should have been talking about. Never forget that Trey Lance was not option one at the quarterback position for Kyle Shanahan. He tried like hell to go get Stafford. He wanted Stafford, too.
He wanted Cousins. He wanted Brady. He wanted everybody and anybody but Jimmy G.
Well, I guess he didn't want Brady because he could have had Brady, and they said no. But he has been very open that, A, they went after Stafford, and, B, they punched the table when they found out the Rams got him. And look what's happened. Yeah, McVay went and won a Super Bowl, and look where Shanahan's quarterback situation has gone.
Back to Jimmy.
We drafted a guy, he got hurt, you're back to Jimmy, and here we are having lip-reading scandals by week 3.
Right, and we all should be reminded that the headset communication is not a two-way communication.
Yeah, exactly.
The quarterback doesn't have the ability to...
it's not on Bluetooth.
Right, exactly. So he gets the play call in his helmet, and 15 seconds left of the play clock, it shuts off. He does not have a microphone. And I think a lot of people think that it's a two-way communication, and it's not.
No, but he could still be reacting to what something's being said to him without
a
microphone. But yes, I don't really buy Bobby's premise. Then again, I don't know what premise to buy because there's no way we're ever going to know. So everybody gets to move on in life thinking what happened is correct, and we're probably mostly wrong. And yes, Kyle Shanahan addressed it. And yes, we will have that for you shortly after Brian Baldinger jumps in here. But yeah, this is not, Bluetooth is not on, and quarterbacks are not screaming back and forth. Well, I think we should run the ball, you dummy.
Totally.
Well, I should, I mean, that's not.
It'd be cool if they did, and if we could mic them up two-way. We're going to go 32 sprint right option. No, we're not.
NFL 2066. Maybe we'll be there by then.
Totally.
I don't know.
Kyle, I'm not running that ass. I'm throwing the ball. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not.
I'm the one out here with the ball.
Exactly.
You're playing sack, man.
Totally.
Sack, Omaha. One, two, go. I mean, yeah.
Like Omaha. Always.
Or Patrick Mahomes. What? I don't know what he's saying. What is he saying? What is Mahomes saying?
I'll ask my professional lip reader who I have on retainer.
Thank you.
We'll see if we can
did
get
you
that.
Reach out to one, by the way?
I did, yeah.
And?
Well, she's out sick. She had, yeah. Apparently she's got like a...
All we need is a phone call. You don't need to be healthy for the... I can't get COVID through the phone.
Terminal illness.
Oh, crap. Now I feel like... now I feel awful.
Now you
seriously?
Should. No, it was one of those things where I'm like, hey, are you free? And she's like, I'm really not doing well. I'm hoping I pull through.
Oh, God.
And I responded with, I just need 5 minutes. I didn't. I didn't. Too soon.
Oh, my...
I mean, I'm not asking for a full segment.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Wow.
Comedy's got to live on the edge,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, it really does.
It was crazy.
It was.
Brian Baldinger does the same thing, man. Woo! He living on the edge. And you are living on the edge if you hang out for a few more minutes. You can find your way into a Sharks game. So it's Baldy, and it's Sharks, and it's Kyle Shanahan's response to Lipgate. All coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, boo.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Brian Baldinger standing by against the wishes of Bonte Hill. That's okay. He's already left for the week, so that's the end of that. But also, we've been telling you, coming up right about now, yeah, it's going to be hockey ticket time for the Sharks. So that sounder means that the fifth caller is going to win. Call the contest line, not a regular line. No one will answer, and you won't win, and you won't see the Sharks. So call the contest line, which is 415-951-2386. 415-951-2386. Pair of tickets to see the Sharks play their home opener October 14th against Carolina. Caller number 5, 415-951-2386. That all courtesy of the San Jose Sharks. All right, time to bring in one of our favorites. And yes, our favorites. It's Brian Baldinger. Brian, I'm sitting here like I remember sitting there with you talking to you after the Bucks played the Raiders in the Super Bowl in San Diego.
Wow.
And over here's Bonte Hill. He's all upset today that you're willing to go on other shows here on 95.7 The Game. I don't know what to tell him. I don't know what to tell him.
You have to explain that history, Dibs. Come on, man. That's going back 20-plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, Bonte doesn't have that type of cachet.
No, you know how it is in this business, Baldy. We all try to claim ownership of our favorite guests,
yes.
And you are clearly that. And, you know, we can get into all the X's and O's of what to expect on Monday and what we saw last weekend. But first and foremost, Jimmy Garoppolo and the situation with, you know, Kyle Shanahan and coming back to a team where you previously got fired. How hard is it for Jimmy G to come back on this team after they basically had let him go?
Well, I don't think it's as hard as what it is made out to be. I mean, he didn't have a landing spot. He was out there for anybody to hire, but the shoulder and the surgery just wasn't ready when training camp started. And it was a moving carousel all off season with these quarterbacks. And he was the only one left standing that was really a viable candidate. And the best situation for him, now maybe not contract-wise, not right now, but was to stay in San Francisco. And It just worked out that way. I mean, nobody could have predicted this. We all had our own predictions where he would go, what would happen, how it would unfold. But I don't think many people had, well, he'll be an expensive insurance policy for the 49ers. And then, oh, by the way, in the second game of the season, you're now the starter. So it's been a long, strange trip, as they used to say, across the bay right there with that great group, the Grateful Dead. It's kind of like that. It's been a long, strange trip.
Baldy, can we back up? Because we love your breakdown so much. What did you see with Jimmy's performance on Sunday?
Well, I mean, look, they just, they couldn't finish drives. They had a chance at the end of that game to put two drives together. They couldn't finish the game. That's kind of what the quarterback's job is. These games get to the fourth quarter, you got to find a way to take it down the field and score. And he wasn't able to do that. He looked sharp when he came in off the bench the first week. And then last week, he looked like he needed training camp. And he missed a lot of time. That's why he kind of looked. He looked a little rusty. He wasn't as quick with his reads. The throws weren't sharp as they needed to be. And so I think I think this was an important week of practice and just game planning and kind of getting whatever rust was there, which I think was plenty, to kind of kick it off and get ready to go.
What can they do without Trent Williams and with a somewhat patchwork offensive line and a running back depth that's not what the 49ers are used to? How do you think that they're schematically going to approach this game against the Rams?
Well, McKivitz has played before. He's going to be out there. They started Jalen Moore when Trent got hurt on that safety last week, and Jalen Moore was in there, and he got beat pretty badly, so they went to McKivitz. I mean, you just got to play the next guy up. Now, I don't think you can really, you just can't count on the blind side being so firm like you could with Trent. Like, you just knew with Trent there that you could absolutely kind of not have to double, not have to chip, not have to slide like he was in charge. And so you got to be cognizant of that right now, that you don't have the same player. And then in the run game, you're not going to get the same guy cutting off on the backside as you did with Trent there. I mean, his backside cutoff blocks are the best in the league. And a lot of runs kind of start one way and wind back. And so you have to really kind of factor that in into the game plan right now. Like, maybe that it isn't such a good play to wind it back without Trent right there.
Baldy, so many 49er fans have been wanting George Kittle to get more involved. A little bit of a two-part question. In your breakdowns, why isn't he? And second part, with Trent Williams being out, does that kind of take George Kittle out of the passing game? Because they're going to need him to help and block.
They might, but there's other tight ends that can do that too. Chip block, double, help your tackles. The reason why he's not involved, they don't call his number. I mean, if you look at these tight ends in the league that he's paid up there with, for a day, he was the highest paid tight end 2 years ago, and then Travis Kelce outdid him, and I think Darren Waller did. I mean, they call their numbers. They call plays for them, and they really don't do that. They kind of just let the play action, action, and the plays kind of take care of themselves, but you don't see him in man coverage getting picked, and run off a double screen. And you just don't see plays designed for him. I mean, as simple as a tight end delay, tight end screens. Like, those are plays that you designed for him. They have them, but they really haven't called his number. Now, obviously, he missed the first 2 weeks. But last week, you didn't see those kind of plays called. And I see those called all the time. And then in the red zone, like, his ability to, if you want to throw it underneath and let him finish it in the end zone, like, after the catch, he's as good as anybody in this business. Presumably, that's why you made him the highest paid tight end in football for a period of time. And so, but they're just not calling his number. They're not using him the way they need to. If they need to use him in pass protection, there's always ways that you can use him as a delay type tight end, coming out late, screen to him. There's a lot of things you can do to free him up.
Well, they're using Deebo Samuel in the ways they used him last year, but last game it didn't work. 5 carries, 6 rushes. Do you think that Kyle Shanahan needs to be a little bit more creative in how he gets Deebo Samuel the ball, unlike what happened last week?
Well, I think they got to be better up front than what they have been. They have not been good up front. They're at the bottom of the charts and everything offensively right now, and include the run game. And that hasn't happened while Kyle's been in San Francisco. So they need to get better up front. They need to get better designs for sure. But, I mean, there was a point in the second half of the season last year, you know, all the way through the championship loss to the Rams, where Debo kind of just lined up as a running back, and they didn't really need to do a lot. Like, the holes were there. He hit it 100 miles an hour, and he was on to the secondary. They're not getting them those kind of free looks right now, and so they have to get better up front, or they have to, like you said, Will, you just have to get more creative.
Baldy, I think a lot of people, based on where the 49ers were last Sunday, are surprised that the 49ers are favored Monday night. Does that make sense to you? Is there a matchup on this field? Maybe it's Stafford against the Niner defensive line, for example, that is actually really in the Niners' favor that we're not thinking about as much.
Well, I think every single matchup defensively for the 49ers favors the 49ers. Defensively, I know they're like two or three in the league right now, but I don't see a team that is as good as the 49ers on defense. I saw Tampa and Green Bay last week. They're both very good. I've seen Dallas. Like, they're very good. But I don't see anybody as complete as San Francisco. Now, they have to take the ball away more than what they have. They've got to cause more fumbles than what they have. But I don't see anybody playing faster than the 49ers. So the 49ers against the Rams run defense, the 49ers against the Rams offense line, like, they to me, they win every matchup. Now, Cooper Kupp is a special animal, and the timing with him and Stafford is almost like any other quarterback wide receiver in this league. But you have to know that. You have to know that they'll take their shots to Cooper Kupp. It could be underneath. It could be over the top. It could be, you know, let him do his route running tricks. But their zones should be able to take care of a lot of it. Their speed at linebacker, including Hufanga, is as good as anybody in business. So that's where I think the 49ers, why they're favored, is because I think the score is going to be way down this game, and I think the Rams are going to have a hard time driving the ball against them.
Are you thinking maybe another 11-10 ball game, ball?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was 11-10, you know, in the bottom of the ninth. They got to get a run in the bottom of the ninth. Two runs in the bottom of the ninth. You know, they need a, I don't know, they need a Barry Bonds home run or something. But they had opportunities. They couldn't make it work. They're at midfield, for crying out loud. Finish the drive.
Yep.
You need a field goal.
Yep. Yeah,
like, base runners.
Make the plays to finish the drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Baldy, we can't let you get out of here today without a little perspective on what we saw last night with Tua. I know so many former NFL players went to social media to kind of share their stories. What were your stories with concussions, and how does that sort of shape what you felt about last night?
Well, I'm all for every single rule Dibs have been put in to make the game safer. Like, I thought the play by Josh Tupou, like, I know he's an aggressive, you know, he got overly aggressive and he slammed Tua to the ground. I mean, there's got to be flags flying right there. I mean, we see on Sundays quarterbacks get an index finger grazed on the helmet and there's a flag. Like, that hit last night in front of both the umpire and referee has to be flagged. Okay, that's number one. Number two, honestly, I've seen concussions. I've seen guys get up woozy, wobbling. I've had double vision. I've never seen the reaction by the hands and the fingers like that to a head trauma before. Like, that's new to me. People that say that they watch UFC, they see it. I've never seen that in the octagon. I've never seen that on the football field. So that scared me, what was causing that. But look, we have done everything from taking the head hits out of the game. We've done a pretty good job of doing it. New helmet technology. You're protecting the quarterback in so many different ways, almost ad nauseum. I think we've done a lot as far as just the safety helmets in practice and how we practice. I think almost every precaution has been taken to try to make a violent game safer. They just got to enforce the rules. Like, there's, if Tua suffered a concussion the week before and we saw him get up, and that's what it looked like to everybody else that was watching, like, they've got these independent, you know, head trauma experts on the sideline. Like, let them do their job and let them react so that something like that happened last night just doesn't happen again.
Baldy, as always, it is wonderful to have you. What a treat. Thank you so much. Don't ever talk to Bonte and Joe ever again,
ever.
Okay?
Well, I might have to break that promise.
I know. I know.
But we know that we're your favorite show.
Just only because they're going to beg so hard.
Yeah.
And I'm a softie when it comes to that. That's all.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, Baldy the softie. We considered putting that in your show open. But thanks, bud. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. You got it.
Thanks,
right,
Baldy.
There he goes. That's Brian Baldinger right here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibbs, 888-957-9570 is the number. Keep it coming. Twitch, YouTube chat, Comcast Business text line. Your phone call certainly welcome. We'll get to the Kyle lip reading stuff here in just a second, too. But the NFL information machine is already starting. Just about a half hour ago, Tom Pelissero speaking on NFL Network. NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills says Tua Tagovailoa was checked for concussion symptoms every day since Sunday, points out that the independent neuro expert had to clear him. Once review is done, full results will be released publicly. So there it is, Dibs. Everything, there'll be accountability,
right.
There'll be transparency, there will be everything done totally within the rules, and everything's going to be fine.
Well, and again, as we talked about with concussions, there is no definitive way to determine a concussion. If I come over there, which I would never do, and I take your pinky and I break it, if I just straight up break your finger, you go to the doctor, you get an x-ray, and the x-ray will determine you have a broken finger. You call HR, you file a claim, I get fired, and the show comes to a screeching halt. X-ray, MRI. These are things that can determine injury based on magnetic resonance imaging or x-ray, which is different. A concussion, there is no definitive way to look at the head, especially, by the way, in a halftime setting. 12 minutes of halftime.
Well, right.
So you go to the locker room and it's, you know, you shine a light in the eye. Well, you know, his eyes were probably pretty alert. Follow my finger. Do you have a headache? We check your head. You know, any dizziness, any nausea, any of that. No, 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 no. Okay.
Okay, what about that video of you not being able to walk?
My back.
Stop.
Spinal.
I mean, I know you're being, I know
no,
what
I'm
you're saying.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I know
and
you
I'm
are.
I'm playing the role of Tom Pelissero.
And last
and,
night.
Rhett Lewis. I was going to say Rhett
I
Butler.
Mean, boy, I'm still triggered from when he hugged Tommy Lasorda after signing with the
well,
Dodgers
Brett
as a free
agent.
That's
Brett
Butler.
I think Rhett this Butler was a character in Gone with the Wind.
Yes, right. This is Rhett Lewis. Anyway, I mean, again, visual signs of concussion. I learned this last night. I didn't know what that was called. When Tua is on the ground and his fingers are going in 10 different directions?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on out there? Did he dislocate all of his fingers?
I thought, because I was watching the game on mute holding my one-month-old daughter, and so I didn't really see what happened, but I saw his hand. I thought, oh, God, he got a broken finger.
He broke all of his fingers. No, so this is either called posturing or fencing, and this is a direct
on guard
reaction to a concussion, where basically your arms, your limbs, your fingers, everything locks up and is going in different directions. Like, again, this is the second time in 4 days where we've had obvious visual confirmation of concussion on the field, and somehow the Dolphins and the league are trying to wiggle out of this. We'll get to Shanahan here in just a second. Jesse Sapolu at 11 o'clock. Doug in Berkeley here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Doug, what are you doing?
Hey guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
A couple of kind of sidelights on the Tua thing. Number one, the hit. Our quarterback, who had not had a previous injury 3 days earlier, taking that hit, being thrown to the ground that way, and having his head snap. I think any quarterback would have suffered some sequelae from that, some neurologic sequelae from that. So there's a lot of stuff this morning I'm hearing about blaming the coach and blaming this and that. And yeah, they have some responsibility. But I maintain, and just think about it, any quarterback who took a hit like that and had his neck snap, his head snap like that, would probably come out of the game.
I think that's an unfair statement, Doug. I really do. I think that there's so many hits in the game. We have no idea what would happen in another situation. What I'm doing now, I'm not going to act like I know what's going on. I'm telling you that I spent an hour and a half last night listening to videos and reading from concussion experts around the country. And not a one of them is saying anything different, Doug. They're all saying absolute 1,000% certainty that what happened last Sunday was a concussion and that the severity of the one last night was attached to the fact that he had already been concussed 4 days earlier. That's what they're saying. That's not me. That's all the PhDs and the MDs. You know what I mean?
None of whom, though, were there to examine the player. An independent neurologist did examine him and said, get back out there, kid.
Yeah.
Go win this game.
But did he?
Well, they won the game.
But did the independent neurologist do everything totally above board? We don't know.
I wasn't there. None of our doctor friends were there.
Well, again, to me, there is A to B proof. If every expert in the country is going to say what you saw Sunday was a visual sign of concussion, it doesn't matter what happened in the back room. The NFL rule is visual signs of concussion. You cannot return to a game.
But again,
that is a rule.
I know it's a rule, but you could say what you want about what we all saw. And I'm in total agreement with you, Mark.
I know you are.
I'm just trying to play the role of the NFL. And, you know, what they're able to hide behind, because the rule is not a clear-cut thing. If they had a rule where if you broke your finger, you couldn't play that week, and you go and you get an x-ray, and the x-ray shows a broken finger, well, then that's definitive 100%. There's so much gray area when we're talking about the gray matter of these concussions that you can fudge it, and this thing was fudged so badly that the eye test tells us the guy was concussed. You saw the injury, you saw the stumble, and yet he goes in the locker room, oh, you're fine. Forget what we all saw when he was trying to get back to the huddle. That must have been a back spasm.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
It's a complete joke. And Chris Nowinski, the guy we referred to earlier, again, one of the foremost concussion experts out there. This is what's so damning to the NFL, in my view. He tweeted it out before the game. He's not reacting. He's not being emotional because Tua ended up on a stretcher. Before the game, he tweeted out, if Tua plays tonight, this sets concussion care back years and years in the NFL. Because we know what we saw Sunday, and this is not allowed. And he did it, and then what happened. So the worst-case scenario plays out. Jesse Sapolu, in terms of subconcussive blows back when nobody was paying attention, I'm sure suffered a bunch. We'll talk to him about that and much more with the 49ers in just about 10 minutes. But we've been promising this. We'll get it to you if you haven't heard it yet. Kyle Shanahan, media conference yesterday. Yes, he was indeed asked about the lip-reading situation with Garoppolo. Here's the problem. I'd almost expect Kyle to come out and go, this is stupid. Why are we even talking about this? Which is essentially what he did. But in the process, he also made a mistake, which is going to allow everybody to jump on him and call him a certain name. And we'll tell you what that is after you listen to it. Here's the first response from Kyle Shanahan.
Like it is with one of my friends. We are very, as me and Jimmy are around each other every single day, so there's not any awkwardness from us or anything that's kept from each other. I don't know the clip you're talking about. I got it on my notes before this press conference, but I'm not a very good lip reader, but I probably won't watch it.
Okay, I don't know the clip you're talking about, and I probably won't watch it.
He got notes, though.
So keep those two quotes in mind. I don't know the clip,
yeah,
and I won't watch it. Next comment.
There's frustration with our whole team. First of all, the clip to me is a joke, so I can't believe we're talking about it. I'm pretty sure that's not what he said, but we were extremely frustrated from the whole game. I mean, anytime you are doing well in the first half, moving the ball, and you get in the second half and you have three turnovers on three of your drives, you have a safety on one, and you don't convert a third down, that's real frustrating to get anything going.
I'd love to say that, again, I did expect Kyle to dismiss this.
I'm pretty sure that's not what he said.
And I'd love to have heard something yesterday, but we're never going to know what he said. And so I would love to have heard something yesterday where they came out and said, look, here's a little insight into what was going on in that moment, and he didn't say what you think he said. We're good here. Like that, I would have loved that. Instead, what Kyle accidentally did was go, I don't even know the clip you're talking about. And then 10 seconds later goes, the clip's a joke. And I'm sure he didn't say what you think.
What you think he said.
Wait a minute. You can't, if you don't even know the clip, how can you then 5 seconds later tell us the clip's a joke? So, of course, literally the PR staff of the 49ers, which is a great group, they are not doing their job if they didn't show the clip to Kyle before he goes to the press conference to answer questions about the clip.
He's seen the clip.
Of course he has.
And I don't even know if the PR staff needed to show him the clip for him to see the clip. We're all on social media, and I know coaches and players, a lot of times they say, oh, I turn that S off and whatnot. When something like this happens, a viral clip like that, he absolutely saw it. And if he didn't see it on his own, the PR staff would have showed it to him, which is why I don't know why he said, I don't know anything about the clip. I got some notes on it. And then he goes on to say, you know, the clip's a joke. And that's not what he said. He didn't say what you think he said in the clip. How do you know if you didn't see the clip, what he said in the clip, and you obviously saw the clip, so why'd you say you didn't see the clip?
It's almost unfortunate because that's going to be, and I get it, we're going to grab that out of it, and it makes Kyle sound like a liar, and I'm here to tell you, they lie in front of the podium all the time, and I support their lying because that's the way this process works. Here's an example. Let's now go with what we know on Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember when they kept sitting in front of a podium and going, yeah, sorry, like, we love Jimmy, he's amazing. Balls, but he keeps getting hurt, and so we just can't keep a quarterback who keeps getting hurt, so we had to go get a new starter.
When he said that Jimmy's one of the best throwers of the football on the planet,
I mean, but how many quarterbacks? He is one
liar.
He is one of the best on the planet. He's just not one of the top 15.
I wish you weren't a liar. He's not one of the top 50.
Like, they have to lie. They have to lie. We've put them in a position where they have to lie. So I'm actually lie supportive when it comes to post press conference for head coaches, but you can't tell everybody that you're lying or else it's not going to go well.
But then you get caught in a lie. And again, this is an insignificant lie for me. I mean, who cares if you saw the clip or you didn't see the clip? But why not just, like you're saying, come out and say, I saw the clip, not sure what he said, Jimmy and I are fine, because his first answer is absolutely true. I see Jimmy every single day. Jimmy and I are fine. Like, you and I, we might have a rough segment, a rough show. We might have a fierce debate over what a backup quarterback is. We're fine. We spend 3 hours a day together. It's not like any disagreement we have is going to all of a sudden cause us to not have a working relationship.
It's life.
Same thing with a QB and a coach. I thought he could have come out and just said, I saw the clip. The clip is stupid. Whatever Jimmy said, we're cool. Next question.
Yeah, I don't even know what he said, but we're good. Like, yeah, absolutely easy. It's all sponsored by On Deck. And Jesse Sapolu, former 49er great, jumps in here next, and then we continue with your calls at 888-957-9570. It is Willard and Debs on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.